Okay, we're on Daf Kuf Zayin tonight, and this is Yevamot 107a. Kananahara, the Siyum is a little over 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tomorrow is the Siyum. Means 15 more days with Yevamot. What? Thursday night, July 7th, will be the Siyum. Okay, so the first Mishnah says, we went over this last night. The Mishnah says, Beit Shammai Omrim, Eimimanin El Arusot. So Beit Shammai holds, Mian, if you remember, is when a girl is very young, and she's married off. The father's not in the picture anymore. So the father maybe died. So the mother and the brothers can marry her off on a rabbanon level. They'll come and we're talking that. So the miyun, according to Beit Shammai, is only when they're arusa. Miyun is she could say, I'm out of here. Anytime before she comes to gadola, she could say, I don't want this. I'm out of here. And then that's it. And nullifies the marriage as if it doesn't exist. But according to Beit Shammai, you could only do that when it's in the stage of erusin. Once it's nisuin, they can't do that anymore. He says, "Behil omrim arusa v'nesua." Behil says, whether it's arusa or nesua, they could do it. Then Beit Shammai omrim b'ba'al, and we have below b'yavam. The Bach picks out the words below b'yavam. Beit Shammai says that miyun has to always be done. We're in Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, line 3, 107a. So he says that it has to be done with the husband. In other words, miyun can only be between the woman and the husband. Not the Yavam. Behil omrim b'ba'al b'yavam. Behil says that miyun even applies in a yibum situation. So means if Reuven married this girl when she was very young, or means her brother or her mother married her off, and then Reuven dies, and now she's facing Shimon, so she can, we're going to clarify in the Gemara what she could do. But Lechora, simple shot in the Mishnah, I would say that she could say, I'm exercising the right of miyun, I'm out of here. He says, we're on line 4 in the Mishnah on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, Beit Shammai Omrim, Bifanav, Beit Shammai says, Mian always has to be done in the presence of the husband. In other words, and Rav Kati said she might be embarrassed or whatever, but that's what we want it to be. But Behil Omrim, Bifanav, Bishlo Bifanav. Bill says it could be in his presence or not in his presence. Then Beit Shammai Omrim, Bebeitin, Beit Shammai says it has to be in the presence of a Bezin. It means in the presence of three mumchim, three expert judges. He says, that's the way Rav Kati explained it. But the Gemara is going to explain it as well. Behil holds, it can even be three people, but they don't have to be mumchen. Amru lahem Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, Mima'enet v'hiktana afilu arba v'chamisha pamim. Theoretically, it's possible for a young girl to go through miyun even 4 and 5 times. In other words, her mother or her brothers marry her off, and then she says, I'm out of here, and then again, and again, and again, and again. You can keep doing that until she becomes a gedola. So Amru lahem Beit Shammai, Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, ain't Benot Yisrael hefker. Benot Yisrael not hefker, and it's like, you know, treating like nothing if they're in and out of marriage. Ella, m'ma'enet u'am tenash tadil t'ma'in v'tinasei. So according to Beit Shammai, she gets one shot at miyun. In other words, miyun she could do once, and then, then she has to wait till she's older, and then utma'in betina say. So the Mishnah repeats again that should be mama'in. So the Gemara is going to have machloket what this line means, but one shot in the Gemara is going to be that she has to reaffirm the miyun, and then she'll marry. Or the other shot is that she has two options that she can do. She can wait till she becomes an adult, or She could do miyun and then immediately go to nisuin. In other words, if she goes straight to nisuin, so Beit Shammai says there's no miyun after nisuin. So the Beit Shammai doesn't want the note yourself to be hefker of the marriage of this person, that person, the other person. But according to one shot, if she does the miyun and then she is agreeable to marry, you know, B, Yishimin, and to do nisuin with him, so Beit Shammai says there's no miyun after nisuin. So Beit Shammai says that's also okay. It would also work, okay. And it doesn't have to be immediately.
Does it mean
after
the that they should
doesn't
be
have to be. It doesn't have to be right after the first miyun, but it means she's doing it. You know, erusin nisuin, bang bang bang, like that. A little bit like we do in our marriage. Okay, who's got questions? Comes to us. What do you got for me, Bern?
What does it mean that the Benot Yisrael should not be hefer? In other words, it's really respecting her to allow her to do the miyun.
No. In other words, like if she's married like every other week to somebody else, it's like that's like hefker. So like it's like four, you know, five guys. It's, you know, going through a lot of marriages, so it's like hefker that way. And in addition,
is miyun considered marriage? But I thought Mian is the opposite of marriage.
That's pamfakir. So it's more hefker dick. In other words, so nothing existed and she was living with the guy. So it's even worse. Okay, wait, what's happening?
I don't understand.
So when she leaves so with Mian, I have to see. I don't think there is a ksuba with Mian. I have to look into it. I got to look into that. Okay. But Mian means as if the marriage didn't exist. So logically, according to both of them, and when you do Mian, it's like retroactively, it never, it's like Kafarat Nadarim, or I should say Hataras Nadarim. So it's like the Neder never existed. So the marriage never existed. So I don't think there would be a ksuba. All right.
That's why I don't understand.
Okay, you're commissioning a lot of different things together, Rafi. Okay. All right, we're not. That's one thing. And then what about Yibam? What's your question about Yibam? No. If you do, in other words, she's married to Reuven. If she does Mian, then she's out of this. Now she's done with Reuven. If Reuven dies before she does Mian, so then we had a machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai whether she has a right to Mian anymore. Beit Shammai said that it doesn't apply when there's an Yibam situation. Beit Hillel says it does, but we have to clarify what exactly applies. Okay, one more question, then we got to go. Any more questions?
Yeah.
What's up? Right. Now, again, there's two pshatim in the end of the Mishnah, which we're going to go. So no, that according to that, she has to reaffirm that she's not regretting the Mian. In other words, she did Mian when she was 10. Now she's 12. So now she says, yeah, I hold by that original Mian. Yeah. According to Beit Shammai. Right? According to Beit Shammai. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay? So we're going to focus. Nice to have everyone here, by the way. So we're going to focus on the first halakha. So the first halakha in the Mishnah was that Shammai says that the Mian is only by Erusin. In other words, only after Erusin you can do Mian. Once you do Nisuin, you can't do Mian anymore. And according to Beit Hillel, Mian is even after the Nisuin. Okay, so the Gemara is going to give four reasons for Beit Shammai, what the reason they hold out is. Okay? All right. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Tamar Shmuel, my Talmud Beit Shammai. So the first is Shmuel's Hesber. Why does Beit Shammai say there's no Mian after Nisuin? Lefisha in Tanai ben Nisuin. So he's talking about a din by regular Nisuin. So by regular Nisuin, if a woman marries, so let's say there could be a Tanai by Erisin, I could say Harei Mekudesh Li on this condition, that condition, or the other condition. But once it goes forward with Nisuin, then it's understood as a matter of halacha that the Tanai falls away. In other words, whether the Tanai was met or not, if you go forward with Nisuin, it's understood the part. In other words, so this is going with like, because of all the chiba, all the love, it's like, it's understood that like people aren't, they're not makbid on any tanaim once they go to Nisuin. So again, so he says, he says, so if we let this woman, she's a 10-year-old, her mother or her brothers married her off. Now, let's say, Beit Shammai is looking at the situation. Let's say she goes through Nisuin with the husband. And now we're going to let her do Mion, be Nisua Timayin, Atul Meymar, Yesh Tanai, be Nisuin. So the people who observe it, don't know the whole situation, will think the reason we know she walked away from this marriage, we know there was no get from the marriage. So the reason that we would think incorrectly is there must have been a Tanai in the Erusin, and the Tanai survived the Nisuin, and the Tanai was not fulfilled, and therefore it was all a zero. That's the whole thing. So therefore, Beit Shammai says, according to Shmuel, that we're not going to let you do Mion after Nisuin, because there's no Tanai with Nisuin. So now, when it comes to Nisuin, there's three ways to do Nisuin. One way is to have conjugal relations, l'shem Nisuin. The other is to have chuppah, l'shem Nisuin. And the other, the Gemara says, if the father gives her over to the Shluchi Abal, that's also a type of Nisuin. So he says like this. So let's say she didn't have conjugal relations with him. She only went into the chuppah with him, and she wasn't in relations. So we said that there's no tanai benisuin. We said there's no tanai benisuin because of all the chiba that's there. But here it's just nitnas al chuppah, So maybe she should be allowed, what would Beit Shammai say? Maybe Beit Shammai would say there that she could exercise Miyun after Chuppah alone. So the Gemara says, Lafisha in Tanai b'Chuppah. So the Gemara says, just like we said, there's no Tanai by Nisuin, there's also no Tanai by a Chuppah. In other words, both by Nisuin and by a Chuppah, there's a tremendous amount of Chiba between the parties, and any conditions fall by the wayside. And the same issues that, you know, caused Beit Shammai to say by Nisuin, meaning intimate relations, that she can't do Miyun, well, even by Chuppah, you would say that as well. So then the Gemara says, Masar Avlu Shluchi Abal Ma'ikla Mebor. Now, well, what if the father just gave her over to the Shluchi Abal? So Rashi points out the father's out of the picture, but it means somebody gave her over to the Shluchi Abal. It means the stagecoach arrives and say goodbye, dearest, and put him in the stagecoach. So that also counts as a type of Nisuin. There's no Chiba between her and him. So what we say there? So lo plug rabbanit. So the Gemara says, in that case, the Chum would say, we're not going to make a chilek. In other words, we're having one rule for Miyan. And the rule for Miyan is, once you do Nisuin, that's it. So that was the Nisuin. So that's it, according to Beit Shammai. Now, Ubeit Hillel made the yadi the Nisu Ketana de Rabbananinu. Beit Hillel would say in response that everybody knows that she's a Ketana. Everybody knows that Kedushi Ketana are all the Rabbanan. And when they see her walk from the marriage along the sand, it was because of Miyan. They won't think, but this Tanai, that Tanai, or the other Tanai. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on the first? What's up? Wait. First, 1 minute, Ruth, I'm getting my phone. Go ahead. Right. That's what the Gemara is saying. Well, no. Let's go back. No, wait. No, we're saying by a regular marriage. No, I'm talking about a regular marriage first. By a regular marriage, if there's a Tanai, so the Tanai falls by the wayside after the Chuppah. So the Gemara says, so why does Beit Shammai not permit Miyun after Nisuin? Because people will view the situation and think that the reason she walked after the Chuppah without a get is there was a Tanai. And Mimela, the Tanai was affected. And they'll do that for every marriage. So we'll say no. So the Gemara says that so therefore we can't do Miyun after the Chuppah. Which line of the Gemara? Okay. All right. Okay. All right, Ruth, what's up? Quickly.
She's 10 years old, and does she have a choice whether it's...
I can't hear you. I lost the audio.
I'm sorry. You hear me now?
I hear you now. Go.
She's 10 years old, right? And does she have a choice whether it's under the...
I don't know. You keep turning off the audio. I don't know why, but does she have a choice? I got it. So again, her mother and her brothers are marrying her off.
Right.
She can say a week later, a month later, any time before she's 12 and showing simanim, I don't want this situation, lehitra od. She can pull out. All right. I got to move on. Now, back in the Gemara. So again, that's reason number one. We're doing reasons again for Beit Shammai. So that was reason number one. Rabbi Rav Yosef, to Amri Tarvayu, Tamad Beit Shammai, Lefishinam Oseh Bilato Bilatzanot. So, in other words, let's say I go through this marriage with a 10-year-old, then I have relations with a 10-year-old, and then she does Miyun. So it means that my Bia was a Bilatzanot. And it was retroactively, there was no marriage, I had relations with her, my Bila was a Bilatzanot. So the Chachamim were mitaking this, so the girl would be taken care of. But Beit Shammai is saying nobody is going to marry this girl if she could turn around and then turn my Bila into Bila Zanus. So there's no Miyun. I have to know with finality. Once I do Nisuin, Gamarnu. So back in the Gemara. So the Pishen Adamo said Bila Tobi Bila Zanus. So the Gemara says, Niftas the Chuppah of Lo Nivala Ma'ik Lamemar. So what if she just does Chuppah and doesn't have relations with him? Why does Beit Shammai say she can't pull out there? That's also a type of Nisuin. So lo nichalei tzevei chuppah di isura. So he says that the man doesn't even want like a chuppah to be the shem isura. And his chuppah, everybody in the sense chuppah is a preliminary to having relations with the wife. So I don't want to have like, people saying I went to a chuppah, you know, like was a chuppah di isura. In other words, chuppah like for a prohibited relationship. Then he says, masar av l'shluchi abal ma'ik l'meimar. So what about, and again, the father's not around, but it means the mother, the brothers give her over to Shluchi Abal. So in that situation, there's no concern for Bila Znus, and why can't she do Miyun? So lo plug rabbanon. The Chachamim said that's the rule. We're making a rule across the board. It generally applies. In that situation, the cheshbon doesn't apply, but that's the rule. Okay, that's reason number two. Now, Ubeit Hillel came at the Kiddushin Ktuba, lo atzal meimer, the token doesn't know. This is the answer to your question. Who asked about Ktuba before? So Beit Hillel says, the only thing is, though, I have to still look into it. Beit Hillel says, since there's going to be, in other words, again, so according to Rab and Rab Yosef, that it's a person doesn't want Bila to Bila Tznus. I don't want to marry her if she could turn my Bila Tznus. So what does Beit Hillel say? So Beit Hillel says, yeah. Beit Hillel says, look, even if she does Mion after the Nisuin, but everybody in the sins he did Kedushin, and he gave her a Ksuba, they won't view it as a Bila Tznus. In other words, even though Lamai said, you're right, retroactively the whole thing is annulled, so to speak, or nullified. But he did it with Kiddushin, he did it with a Ksuba. It's not the same as like having a fling with a woman, you know, elsewhere. Everybody understands he did a Kedat Kedin. All right, let me just do another two answers, get to the two dots, and I'll pause for questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So that's answer number two. Answer number three, and again, we're just explaining, just repeating myself, why Beit Shammai says that Mion is only after Erusin and not after Nisun. Rapapa Amar, Tamad Beit Shammai Mishum Peirei, Tamad Beit Hillel Mishum Peirei. So Beit Shammai says, the reason Beit Shammai says you can't do Mion after Nisuin is because after Nisuin, the man is entitled to Nisei Milug. Nisei Milug are the properties the wife brings into the marriage. So he gets the payro from there. So the Gemara is going to explain. So Tamad Beit Shammai Shum Peirei, Yamit Nisua Tamayin, if I say that a Nisua can pull out of the deal. In other words, even when she Nisuin, in other words, I go through a whole marriage there. She brought in, let's say, 10 acres of property that are yield, you know, produce. And at any moment, I'm the husband, she could turn around tomorrow and say, I'm out of this. So he says, Shami ba'akil luhumina, yisof sof l'mei pa'kaima. I'm going to grab whatever I can get from there. I'm going to harvest it in a way that makes more damage to the fields because I want to milk it for as much as I can, as soon as I can, because she could turn around any minute and then disappear. He says, Ubeit Hillel adraba, kima da'amri tamayim, ilz is pumpakir. Once you tell him that she could pull out of this deal at any point in time, even after the suing, ashbukli mashbak luhu, according to Beit Hillel, the man has an incentive to improve the properties, savar ilom, because he thinks if I don't, you know, behave wonderfully and handle everything excellently, I'd slay krovel umakti lamina. Her mishpacha is going to give her advice to get out of this marriage and pull away from me. So I'm pumped for care. Because I know that she could pull out any minute, I'm going to take excellent care of the properties. That's the way, that's far it goes. This is, again, with Rav Papa. And the last, Pshat in the Mishnah is, Rav Amar Hainatad Beit Shammai, Shadam Teresh Besudam Mafsidah. So Beit Shammai says, nobody wants to go through a banquet. In other words, the presumption is you're going through Nisuin, you make Sudas at Nisuin, which is expensive. Nobody wants to expend, let's just take a figure. Let's say it's $100,000 for the Suda. Somebody wants to spend $100,000 if next week she can pull out of it. I don't want to spend that. So he says, so I'm not interested. In other words, the Nisuin goes together with the Suda. I'm not doing Nisuin without the Suda. I don't want to spend the money. So he says, Ubeit Hillel, Tarvayu Nichaluhu, and then here the Bach gives the words. Let's see the Bach. Tarvayu Nichaluhu, Kiehi Dleipuk Alaihu, Kalad Ishut. He says, Beit Hillel says that notwithstanding the expenditure, both the male and the female are happy that they get the shame of a married couple. They're both happy with that, and that's enough incentive. In other words, the husband likes to know he's married, the woman wants to know he's married, and that's enough. Okay, let's just review, then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So again, just repeating. So the Mishnah says that according to Beit Shammai, Mion is din d'rabbanan. So according to Beit Shammai, that the Chachamim only enacted Mion after Erusin, but not after Nisuin. And according to Beit Hillel, they enacted it after Erusin or Nisuin. That's the first Yisod. So why does Beit Shammai say it's only after Erusin, and Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel says both? So answer number was Lefin Shein Tanai Ben Nisuin, that if I let her pull out after Nisuin, so people will think the reason she pulled out is there was some stipulation that wasn't fulfilled, and then I think that a Tanai survives Nisuin, which it doesn't. So it's going to lead to a whole, you know, kerfuffle. And Beit Hillel says, no, everybody understands that it's Nisui Katana Durabanan. Everybody understands it's marriage with a Katana, and she pulled out, and then you marry a 10-year-old. I understand that it was Mion. Then that was Shmuel's answer. Then Rabbi Rav Yosef said, I don't want her pulling out to me after Nisuin, and then she's turning my cohabitation with her into Znus. I don't like that. So if you want me to marry her, I have to know that she's going to remarry. And Beit Hillel says that since it's Kiddushin and Ksuba, nobody's going to say Bila Tobi Kiznot. In other words, Inachanami she may pull out, and that would nullify the marriage, but nobody's going to call it a Bila Znus, because they all know that he went through Erusin and gave her a Ksuba, and as a result of that, they won't say it's a Bila Znus. Okay, then answer number three is Rav Papa says the reason for Beit Shammai is because the payroll, we're afraid he's going to pillage the property unless we say that she can't pull out at any time. He says, no, punk for care, and he'll take even better care of the property if she can pull out at any time. He doesn't want the relatives, you know, advising her that way. And the last reason was Rav's explanation is that in Adam Torah Pustom Afsida, a person doesn't want to, you know, do such efforts to suit his nisuin and then lose it next week. And Beit Hillel says, no, both he and she are happy with the whole situation, irrespective of the suda. And that's enough incentive. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Okay, Rafi, go ahead. Again, remember, Chazal teach us that, you here for this stuff, the girl below the age of 11 can't become pregnant, Chazal teach me. Between 11 and 12, it's a sakana if she does become pregnant. Okay, so... Yeah, I don't think she has to go in if she doesn't want to. If she said, I'll tell you, she doesn't have to go in. Okay, any other questions?
I have a question. Ahead. Property that comes with her, if she leaves, it stays with him?
No, it goes. Again, there's different types of property. The property we're talking about, Nichsei Milug, he only gets the income from it. He gets the produce from it. She takes the property with her. But even though she takes the property with her, he can treat the property in a lousy way that's going to like deplete the property. And that's what we're afraid. In other words, he'll harvest it in a way that, you know, causes destruction to the property. All right. Any other questions?
Is there any legal significance to miyun before erusin? It doesn't rise to the level of a discussion.
No, miyun means you have to have something before you do the miyun. I don't understand what miyun before erusin means. You have to be married to the person.
Miyun to the arrangement.
That's what I thought it was. No, you mean they had tanayim? No, I never heard of any mian. No, there is no mian before the erusin. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Everybody with me? Okay, so now we're four lines to the bottom on Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, 107a, five lines to the bottom. Okay, Beit Shammai Omrim Babal V'chulei. So we're going to the second machlok that we had in the Mishnah. Beit Shammai says that mian is only shy between a husband and a wife. And it also says Yabim is striving to husband and wife, but it also has application for a Yibum situation. All right. So the question is Amr Boshia. Listen, everybody has to mute themselves. Okay, let me help you along. All right. So Amr Boshia, Mamarov, Zikato. So Boshia, again, we're focusing on Beit Hillel here. Beit Hillel says that there's Mion in a Yibum situation. We want to see what is the scope of what Mion can do in a Yibum situation. So Araboshi, Roshi says, Beit Hillel means if he did Mamar, he the Yavam, did Mamar with the Yavama, which is Kedushin Durabanan, he gave her Kesef or Star and said, you're Mikdesha to me. So that's what he has to do. So the Mion will destroy that. But it doesn't destroy the Zika between the Yavam and the Yavama, according to Raboshia, meaning that she still needs to do Chalitza, so she'd have to wait till she becomes a Gedola, do Chalitza. She can't, you know, wrap up the whole thing, according to Raboshia. So Amar of Chista, my time with Raboshia, so what's the reason for Raboshia? He says, Mamar, Demidaita Matsya Akra. It was Mamar, she voluntarily entered into Mamar, she accepted it, so she can do Mion with it. Zika debal korcha lamatzia akra, but Zika, which is against her will, and it was just happens by act of law, she can't uproot it. So the Gemara says, "Varebia debal korcha turn page umatzia akra." So the Gemara assumes that even if he did yibum with her, that she could end the relationship with Mion. In other words, within this shita Rav Oshia, so the Mion is good to destroy Mamar. The Mion is also good to destroy the yibum. But the Mian doesn't destroy the Zika. The Zika is there. That doesn't destroy that. You need a Chalitza for that or the Yibam to do it. Once you do the Yibam, you could still do it. He says, so I see, you know, the Bia is Baal Korcha, and nevertheless she's able to be Okarit. Ella, so the Gemara revised our understanding of Raboshia. Ella biu mamar the huka avi matzi akra. Says bia and mamar, where he, the man, is the active, you know, the person that she can be oker. Zika drachmana rama law, but the zika which Hakadosh Baruch Hu puts on her lo matzi akra, that she can't be oker or okeret. Okay, so that's the first shot within Raboshia. Let me do a few more lines. The last question. Okay. So Ula Amar, Ula says, Ula says, no, Mion is like the ultimate, destroyer of relationships. So the Mion even destroys the Zika. She just takes a walk. My tama, Nisui Kamai Ka'akra. She's uprooting the original marriage. Okay? So the Gemara says, Eifei Rava Ula. So focusing on Ula now, so Ula was the second shot. He says, Mian works for everything with the Yibam, according to Beit Hillel. So, Epe Rabba Le'ula. Now, this is from Mishnah on Beis. Remember, so we said in the first Mishnah, our Masechta, remember, Chamesh Esrei, there are 15 women that marry, and they're the Potro Tzarotein, Mitzaro Tzarotein. So, if Reuven, let's say, marries Shimon's daughter, so, and then Reuven dies, so Shimon has no mitzvah of Yibam because that would be his daughter, and there's no mitzvah with the daughter or any other 14 arayot. And then similarly, if Reuven is married to other women besides the daughter, they all take a walk. That was the first mission of the Masechta. So the Mishnah says, Kol she'chol lema'ein below miyana. Now, if you have a girl that could do miyan, so let's say Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter. So how could it be a miyan situation if Shimon is alive? Here you come on the Yitom B'chayav, which we spoke about. Right, exactly right. So if the father marries her once, and then that marriage is terminated either through death or divorce, so he loses the right to marry her off on a deraisa level. So then her second marriage, which in this case he decided to stick with his brother Reuven, would be on a drabbanan level, and she can exercise miyun. So let's say it's a situation like that. So the Talmud Mishnah says, Kol she'chol lema'ein v'lo miyana, if she could be mema'ein, but she did not do that, he says, Saratakul, let's say, Belomit Yabemet. So her tsara, her co-wife, is Mukhuyev on a Daraisa level, Khalitza or Yibam, but we're going to say she should do Khalitza, not the Yibam, because she looks like the tsara of an Erva. So she should do the Khalitza. He says, Ba'amai, Tema'ein Hashta, V'takmil Nisui, Kamai, V'titiabem Sarata. So if it would be true, what Ula says, again, Ula says that the Miyun in a Yibam situation could uproot anything. It could uproot anything, even the Zika. So if that's one route that would be possible, why does the Tana of the Mishnah not mention that? In other words, the Tana of the Mishnah says that if he might the Sarah is full of Solon Yabemet. So why doesn't the Tana say that sometimes she, the daughter, could do Mia now, and then that Sarah could do even Yibam? Why does the Tana not mention that, you know, possibility? He says it's Yabim Sarata. So the Gemara says, Sarat Erva Shani. So the Gemara says, even though Mion uproots everything, generally speaking, as if you're not married, but with the Erva, it doesn't quite work out that way. He says, the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, because Rami Bar Yecheskel taught the following Brisa. Are you leaving? Okay, bye-bye, Yosef. Are you coming back or are you gone? Okay. Says Chama Shalom. Okay, the Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Bar Yecheskel taught the following Brisa. Mina Babal, if a girl, you know, executes Mion against her husband, Uter Laviv, she can marry his father. In other words, even though it's like the father of her husband, when she did Mion, it's like the marriage never existed. And then we would just view it as like the Mefuta of the son. He says, B'yavam Asur La'aviv. But if she does Mion with the Yavam, she's prohibited on marrying the father. In other words, that it looks like in a Yibam situation, looks like she was the daughter-in-law of the father. In other words, once you enter the Yibam situation, it looks like there's more of a connection between the two of them. Once she's falling to Yibam, it looks like she's like a full-fledged wife. So Alma b'shat nefila nireit talato. So at the time of nefila, time of the death of the first husband, so she appears to people as the daughter-in-law of the father. In other words, she is the wife of, or, you know, the second husband. He says, you know, or the Zika with the second husband. Hakanami v'shat nefila nireh kitzarat bito. So to hear, in a situation like this, if Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter, and Shimon's daughter was 10 years old, and then Then Reuven was also married to other women. And then even if the daughter would then do Mion after the Zika, she would still appear to be like the connected to Shimon, in other words, with the Zika. So therefore, the Sarah can't do Gibor. She has to do Kalitza. All right, let me pause for a second, and then this is summarized again, okay? So we went through the different Shitot, in particular between Rabosha and Ula, within the Shita Beit Hillel. So Beit Hillel says that Mion does have Shaychus to Yibam. So what are the contours of that? So according to Rabbi Oshia, Mion works, except it can't terminate the Zika. So the Mion works, it could destroy the Mamar. The Mion works, it could destroy Yibam, but it can't destroy the Zika. That it can't destroy. So she still needs Chalitza for that, and so she'd have to chill out and wait till she's older for Chalitza, or then Yibam, and then Mion. And then according to Ula, the Mion works even with the Zika. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? All right, one second, Rafi, and then you. Wait, Rafi first. So, the Kohen Gadol is not a problem of doing Yibam or Chalitza. Well, with Chalitza would be a problem. We spoke about it in the Gemara. Didn't the Gemara have about the case with the Kohen Gadol? We had it earlier in the Masechta with the Kohen Gadol, with the Almana. So I don't remember so clearly. What? All right. So let me look at, and with the Kohen Gadol, it would be a problem with Almana. I the Gemara said had a din about the Kohen Gadol. I have to pause and double check that. Okay. All right. What's up, Fern? Or who had a question here on the cyber world?
I did.
What about
why should we have to wait for adulthood for her to do Chalitza?
What? Why do you have to wait for adulthood?
Yeah.
So we went through that. You remember when the Gemara recently we said that if it's Isha's, it says Isha since the parsha.
Isha and Isha, right?
Right. Okay. I'm going.
The
going
other
on.
Question is if the tzara does chalitza, then this one is off the hook.
Once she does chalitza, everybody's off the hook, right? Okay. Let's go further on the Gemara now. All right, we're up to around 10 lines down on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Mion Abazeh, Asur Lazeh. So Rav says, let's say Reuben was married, quote unquote, was married to a 10-year-old whose name was Rachel, and then Reuben dies, and then Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda are the surviving brothers. So Amar Rav, Mion Abazeh, Asur Lazeh. Rav says if she does Mion to brother number one, Shimon, she can't marry brother number two or three or four either. In other words, she can't marry any of them. He says, Mi did have a Baalat get. It's just like Baalat get, a woman receiving a get in a Yibam situation. Baalat get, Lav came into Itzra Lechad, Itzra Lekulu. It means if one of the surviving brothers gives the widow a get, so then that's a siman, I'm not going forward with Yibam. I'm going the Chalitza route, right? I'm going through the Chalitza route. So the same thing with the Mion. If she does, according to Rav, if she does Mion with one, so then she's blocked off from any marriage with any other brothers. Hachanami lo shana. Now, if you think again over it, I mean, the Svar Pshuta is, once she does Mion, it's as if she was never married to anybody. So then she theoretically, you would think, would be permitted on everyone. But the Gemara is saying that she's prohibited on everyone. So Shmuel says if she does Mion with brother number one, with Shimon, she can marry Levi or Yehuda. He says, well, Dani the Baal HaGet. It's not like the Baal HaGet. He says, Baal HaGet, Hutika Abidba. The Baal HaGet means the man gives her a get. The get can't be tailored. Once he gives her a get, it's like addressed to the Zika of everybody. He says, Haka hika avdaba, da amra lo ra'ina bach, lo tzavina bach. She makes a statement, I don't want you. He says, Bachud lo ra'ina. So I don't want you, habachavrach ra'ina, but I could want your chaver, it means your brother. So according to Shmuel, she's only prohibited in you know, let's say Shimon, but Levi and Yehuda she can marry. Ravasi Amar, Mina Bazem, Uttarada Filo. Ravasi says, if she's mamayin to one brother, she's permitted even to that brother that she did mian with. Okay, so we have the opinions run the gamut. So either we went from the more stringent to the most lenient. So the most stringent was that she's, when she does mian in a Yibam situation, she's prohibited on all the brothers. That was Rav. The next opinion was she's only prohibited to the brother that she did mian with. The other one she's permissible to. And the last answer is she's permissible to everybody because mian just is saying, like, I'm nullifying the situation. Now we have to start from scratch. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lema kriboshi svirlei, the Amar, inam lenet lezikato. So the Gemara says, should we say that the last opinion holds is like Raboshia? Raboshia says that that there's no mion for the Zika. So we think, again, so let's go back. So we think the pshat is that she's permissible to everybody because the mian was totally ineffectual. That's what we think. The mian was totally ineffectual. So it being totally ineffectual, she's permissible to everybody through Yibam. That's what we think the pshat might be. That's what we think. We're trying to touch up the Tzravasi. So the Amar Einaman Lazikato. So the Gemara says, B'chad Yavam Hachanami Dematsya Akra. Says no. The Gemara says that Rav Asi could hold that with his one Yavam in Achinami, she has the koach through Mian to be Ma'akir the Zika. Hakla b'shnei Yavam maskinan. But here we're dealing with two Yavamim, the Ein Mian lechatzi Zika. In other words, so we're touching up the last opinion of Rav Asi. So when Rav Asi says she's Mutera to both, it means if I do Mian with Shimon, I can't do Mian with a half Zika. Shimon only has half the Zika because the Zika is like all the brothers sharing the Zika. So therefore, the Mian is ineffective. But it's not necessarily true that Rav Asi would agree with Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia held Mian doesn't apply to a Zika situation. Rav Asi could hold if there's only one brother that Mian would be effective. Rav Oshia holds even with one brother, Mian is not effective. All right. Now, the Gemara says, Kiata Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel, Amar Rav Yochanan. He said the name Rav Yochanan, Mian Abazeh Muterad La'achin. Now, we think right now in the Hava Amina, or the first way we understand Rav Yochanan's statement, is if she does Mian with one brother, she's permissible on all the brothers, including the brother that she did Mian with. Meaning that at Lechora, it sounds like that Rav Yochanan is on all fours with Rav Asi. That's the way it sounds like. In other words, she does Mian, the Mian is totally ineffective, and she could have even Yibam with any of them. Velo Hodulo, they did not agree with Rabbi Yochanan. So Man Lo Hodulo, who did not agree with Rabbi Yochanan? So Amar Abayi Rav. So Abayi says, Rav didn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rav was on line 10. Rav said, Mian Abazeh Asur Lazeh. Rav says, if you do Mian with one, you're prohibited. Now, wait, you're prohibited on all of them. So here, Rabbi Yochanan says she's muteran on all of them, that the Mian did nothing. Rav says, punk faker. Rava Amar, Reb Oshia. Rava says that lo hodulo could be Reb Oshia. So again, Reb Oshia says that there's no application of Mian in the Zika situation. So the question is, what does Reb Yochanan hold when you have only one brother? In other words, here we're dealing with multiple brothers. Does Rabbi Yochanan agree with Rav Oshia or not? So Lechora, the way that Rava is saying it, that Rav Oshia disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, because Rav Oshia holds if there's one brother, then Mian does nothing. And Rabbi Yochanan holds it is effective. Let me just a few more lines. V'amri lo Rav Asi. Others say that who's lo hodu lo Rav Asi. So according to Amri lo, Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying that Mian Abazeh Muter La'achim means that Rabbi Yochanan is saying she's prohibited on the one that she did Mian to, but she's permissible to the other brothers. And who's the one who doesn't agree with him? That's Rav Asi, because Rav Asi said that she's permissible on all the brothers. Okay, that was a difficult couple of lines. Who's your questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? All right, I'm moving on. Yeah.
We have
Rav Asi hold. One second. Somebody's asking a question here. I'll get to you in a minute. Go ahead. So didn't the Gemara have a machloket? We said in the Gemara, we did this already, we said that there's a certain, remember there's machloket yesh zika or ain zika, there's machloket tanayim, so in that about the contours of zika, but everybody agrees there's some level of zika on a Torah level. Right. Yeah, again, what was her marriage to Reuven? So how could the zika be doraisa if it's a rabbinic marriage?
No, there is a zika.
No, again, zika exists if Reuven is married to a woman. If Reuven's not married to a woman, zika doesn't exist. Okay, all right. I have to move on. All right, who's the question in the cyber world? Then we got to go. Who's got a question here?
What did Ravasi say about this from before? Did we have him today?
Ravasi said that she was permissible on everybody, right? She can marry everybody. Okay, now back in there, do Yibam with everybody. Okay, now, the first wide line. Okay, now, so Beit Shammai says that the Yimion can only be done in the presence of the husband. And Behil says in the presence of the husband, not in the presence of the husband. So Tanya, Amrulam Behil Beit Shammai, Hello Pishon Agamal, Miyana Ishto Shlo Befanav. So Behil is making an argument, they're propounding an argument to Beit Shammai. We say you can do Miyam even not in the presence. So there was this incident with Pishon Agamal, his name was Pishon, and he was a camel driver. And Miyana Ishto Shlo Befanav, his wife did Miyam not in his presence. And that proves that the halachs like us. So Amru lahem Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, Amru lahem Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel, Pishon HaGamal, B'midah Kfusha Madad. Means Pishon HaGamal, B'midah Kfusha means he like an inverted midah, but it means he wasn't behaving properly. And he says, L'pichach ma'nadulo B'midah Kfusha. In other words, the Chachamim, you know, they helped this girl get out of the marriage because he was not behaving properly. So Mitka Akil Peirei, because he was consuming up all the payroll, and so they, now again, let's go slowly with this. So they let her do the miyun, even not in his presence. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I didn't read it right. It's a midikfusha. Midikaachl peyrei pshita nesuahi. So in other words, he wasn't behaving right because he was like consuming all the payroll. He was like depleting the whole estate, but that's obviously then that she was in a suah because the husband is only entitled to the payroll after the nisuin. Ba'amri Beit Shammai nisua lo mimana. But Beit Shammai holds that after nisuin there is no miyun. So trei kitrei abdu bei. I mean, they did two knots with him. It means they cut, if I could use this, they cut her a considerable slack. In other words, they permitted her, according to Beit Shammai, they permitted her to do miyun even not in the presence of the husband, and they permitted her to miyun after the nisuin, under the extenuating circumstances, this guy was not behaving properly. So it means Beit Shammai, on a b'dieved level, will hold that it is a good miyun, and that without an extenuating circumstances. Okay, 30 seconds for questions. Somebody got to keep moving. I'm running out of time. Let me move on, and I'll pause another few lines, and then we'll see. Okay, now, the fifth wide line. Beit Shammai omrim b'fnei beitin v'chulei. So Beit Shammai says that the miyun has to be done in the presence of a bezdin, and Behil says even not in the presence of the bezdin, but the Gemara is explained in the presence of three people. So v'chulei. So tzan atam ha'chalitza b'miyunim b'shlosha. So we learn in the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, the first Mishnah of Masechet Sanhedrin, it goes through all what you need, different number of dayanim, chalitza and miyunim, you need shlosha. Man tana, who's the tana, or whose opinion is reflected in that Mishnah? Amarabba Beit Shammai. So Rabbi says, clearly, the mission is going like Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says, need three dayanim. Abai Amar, if you obtain Beit Hillel. Abai says, you could even say that mission is in accordance with Beit Hillel. Ad kan lo kamri Beit Hillel, el adlo ba'in mumchen. Beit Hillel only says, you don't need a bezdin, means I don't need expert judges. About shlosha ba'inan. But Beit Hillel also says, I need three people for a miyun. He says, kitatani, like we learn in the Braisa, Beit Shammai omrim b'fnei beitin, Beit Hillel omrim b'fnei beitin, v'shlo b'fnei beitin. Meaning, this Bryce says that they both agree you need three people, but Beit Shammai says they need to be mumkum, dayanim, and Behil says no, it's like three head yotot. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Mashirin, Bishnayim. The last two tanayim say even two people are enough. Now, the Amar of Yosef is in the Mara. Amar of Yosef, Barman Yumi, Amar of Nachman, Halacha, Koto Azud. The Halacha is like that last pair that you need two. At least that's the way he says it. But one second. I don't think we paskin that way, right? I don't think we paskin that way. All right, 1 second. Right. So Behil says the Basin. So we paskin need three. Okay, back on the Gemara. Now, let me do just five more lines and we'll pause. Okay. Beishamay Omrim Tamayin Vechul. So last, remember, line or two of the Mishnah, we said that Behil says you could keep doing Neon even four and five times before she's a Gedola. Beishamay says we only give her one bite of the apple. And then she's got to wait till she gets older. But then the line of the Mishnah was a little strange. So again, the line of the Mishnah says, she does Mion, she waits till she's older. Then the Tana says, Utma'in v'tina say, she does Mion, and then she does Nisuin. So he mentions Mion twice. So the Gemara says, Beishamrim t'mayim v'chule, v'hamina chadazimna, she already did Mion once. Amar Shmuel, ash tagdil v'tomar, rotsa niba Mionim v'rishonim. In other words, according she waits till she gets Gedola, and she says she reaffirms her initial miyun, and then she does nisuin. Ula amar tartik tani. Ula says no. The pshat of the Mishnah is that the last sentence is really saying two different, you know, alternatives. Osh tamayin b'tagil b'teares. Either she does miyun according to Beit Shammai, she gets older, and then she does erusin gigs into haid. Oh, she tamayin b'tina seila alter. Or she does miyun. And then she enters into another relationship, but she does the nisuin right away. We're not hanging around. Go straight to nisuin because Beit Shammai holds that there's no miyun after nisuin. He says, "B'shlema ula headed to Tani Ashta deal b'tina say." So according to Ula, the second shot, I understand why the Tana Mishnah says the last line of the Mishnah, "Ad shik tagdil utma'in b'tina say." So all the words make sense. He says, and again on the side he adds the word utma'in. He says, "Elda Shmuel," but according to Shmuel, Ach tagdil b'tomar mi b'alei. Shmuel says, wait till she gets older, and then she says, rotsa ani b'minun rishonim. So she says, b'tomar. In other words, it shouldn't say, I still with my aim. This is ach tomar, you know, that I'm happy with the minun rishonim. So where's this kasha? That's difficult within the sheet of Shmuel. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything I did so far? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay. 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 Let's do the next Mishnah, and then we're getting closer to the Siyum. You feel it. I feel it. There's 2 weeks left. Okay, now, the Mishnah Manitin. Ezo hi ketana shetzricha l'mayin. So who's the ketana that needs to do miyun? Kol shi siwa ima v'yachea l'daita. If her mother or brother's married her off l'daita, it has to be with her consent. I think Ruth, you would ask me, and somebody else had asked me. So it has to be with the consent of the girl. Hi siwa shalo l'daita. If they marry her off without her consent, ain't that stricha l'mayin? She doesn't need to be mine. She just walks. Nothing's necessary. It's not marriage, even on a drabbanan level. Reb Chanina ben Antignos Omer, kol tinoket she'ein yechul l'shmor kiddusheha, ain't that stricha l'mayin? So Reb Chanina ben Antignos is setting up a floor. In other words, if she's so young, she doesn't know how to guard the kesef kiddushin, so she doesn't require it to be mine. It's a nullity, even on a drabbanan level. So that might be 6 or 7, but if she's below that age, nothing. Then, and here the Bach has Reb Lezer Omer, Ein Masik Tana Klum, Ela Kimafuta. Reb Lezer is explaining within the Sheet of Chanina ben Tignos that even if she is old enough to do the marriage to be required Mion, but one second. Yeah, but even if that is true, but the ma'asim of a ketana are not significant halakhically, and she's like a mafuta, like somebody who's seduced, i.e., bat yisrael lekohen lo tocha b'truma. So let's say she was 10 years old, and she knew how to guard the kesef kiddushin, and her mother and her brothers married her off, but if she's a bas yisrael and she marries a kohen, she cannot eat truma yet, because her ma'asim are not considered significant. Bat kohen l'yisrael tocha b'truma. If she's a bat kohen, she's married to Israel, she could still eat truma, at least on a deraisa level. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, kol akavashim and aish, anything which is holding up the marriage from the man's level aside, kilu hi ishto, then we would view that as his wife. Kol akavashim and aish, kilu hi ishto. We're going to have to wait with the Gemara for that line. Okay, let me do a few lines in the Gemara, and then we'll do a little bit. So the Mishnah says we need some consent. In other words, only her father has his chus to marry her off Baal Korcha. The mother and the brothers, why doesn't it make sense? So what? I'm good with this. I'm good with this. All right.
Give me a second. Can I ask if
go ahead, quick.
If her consent is built into the marriage, then she doesn't need miyum.
No. Okay, listen. She's 10 years old. She consents. She could pull out of the marriage at any time before she's 12 and shows simane, you know, to sa'arot. She could pull out of it. All right?
One of them said that it's with her consent that she's pushed.
Right. It's in it with her consent, but she could still pull out of the marriage. That's what Mian is. She's not a gedola. So even though she consents, she could pull out of the marriage. Okay. Up until the time she's 12.
She got in over her head.
And has two sa'arot. Okay. I only have a few lines and then we'll go on. Now, okay. Let's all focus. Three lines to the bottom in the Gemara. Now, Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amri Lamanita Tana. So Rabbi Yehuda says, and understanding the Brice we learn, Rishona you kofen get mion. Originally, get mion is a star that evidences the mion. So the verbiage that was in the star mion would be Loraina Bay, I don't want him. Below Sabina Bay, I don't want him. Blade on a bay in the Savale, I don't want to be married to him. Came into Chazu, Ganapish Dibura, when they saw that the texts were so long, Amri, top line of Kofkadam and Allah. Amri, they said, like, if you have a sofer who doesn't know what he's doing, he might mistakenly put that verbiage in a get. Like, I don't want you and I'm out of this marriage. He says, takinu hachi. So they changed the formula for the star. The star is going to be evidence of the miyun. He says, biyom ploni, miyana ploni ba'kloni ba'anpana. That on this day, you know, ploni, the miyun to ploni in our presence. That's the way that the star says now. So the star
is Daniel Chodadadi in there.
Well, I assume that I don't know if the girl gets it or the mother or the brothers, but on that side is where the star goes. Okay,
is
wait.
The star the same as Azika?
What? Say again. What
is the star the same as Azika?
No, it's not the same as Azika. The star is evidence. Again, in other words, Mian doesn't have to necessarily have anything to do with Yibum. In other words, you have a young girl that's married to a guy. She does Mian when she's 11. She gets married when she's 10. She does Mian when she's 11. So she needs a star to evidence the fact that she exercised the right to Mian. And he, the husband, has no right to Yerusha, to her estate. So the star says that verbiage, that we observed the Mian and she was out of here. Okay, let me just do a few more minutes with the sheet and then it'll be it. Now,
Can you please ask Daniel Chodadadian to send a video of Mian?
But I did it already.
No,
Mion. There can't be a video of Mion. They don't do Mion today anymore.
Not okay. The safari either.
I don't think anybody's Mion today. Okay, now, Minatora, Kiddushin performed by a katan or a katana, a minor boy or girl, has no validity. A father, whoever, has the authority to give his minor daughter for marriage and to accept Kiddushin on her behalf. And Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, discourages a man from marrying off his minor daughter. Because a marriage without the girl's consent has a significant chance of failure. Even if the girl gives her consent, as a minor, she lacks the necessary intelligence to select a compatible mate, and her marriage is likely to be full of strife. Okay, the sages instituted a rabbinically recognized marriage for a minor girl who lost her father as a means of preventing her from promiscuous behavior, since she has no father to care for her. Sages instituted that this rabbinically sanctioned marriage could be dissolved through Mian, declaration of disapproval. If the orphan girl or minor girl declares in the presence of two people, she's displeased with the marriage and wants to leave. The marriage is dissolved retroactively. She's not required divorce. Okay, now, the Mishnah states that although the mother or brother of a minor orphan girl could give her over in marriage, they're authorized to do so only with the girl's knowledge and consent. Shami explains that if a young orphan is led to a chuppah ceremony by her mother or brother without being explicitly informed that she's getting married, marriage is not valid because she might not have fully grasped the implications of her actions. There are three opinions regarding Kiddushin Mion. The Shilta Giborim, citing the Riyaz, leans from the words of the Mishnah that the sages recognize the kiddushin of a minor orphan only when performed by her adult guardian relative, such as her mother or brother. However, the girl herself is not empowered to accept kiddushin for herself without her guardian's consent. He explains that kiddushin performed with the minor girl is viewed as pitui, like seduction, and as stated above, Pitwiktan onesu, seducing a minor is tantamount to molesting her. So the first opinion is saying she must have the mother or the brothers acting as her guardian for the marriage. She, in other words, even if she's an orphan or even if the father married her off and then she got divorced, she knows that now. Rashi writes that the sages institute two ways in which a minor or orphan can marry. A, or one, an adult guardian relative can accept the kiddushin with the girl's consent, or two, the orphan girl can accept kiddushin on her own behalf without her mother or brother's consent. So according to Rashi, she's a free agent. In other words, if the father's dead, the girl's a free agent to accept kiddushin, albeit on a drabbanan level. Then the Habar Galoni infers from the fact that our Mishnah speaks of an orphan girl who was given over to Nisuin by her mother or brother rather than Erusin, that the relatives of an orphan girl are not empowered to effect kiddushin for her. The Rambam explains that they can only assist her in the performance of Nisuin by leading her to the chuppah, but they are not authorized to act on her behalf and accept kiddushin for her because minors are not legally capable of designating the agent to act on their behalf. However, they can lead her to the chuppah and have her undergo the Nisuin herself. According to this opinion, the only one who can perform the kiddushin for an orphan girl is the girl herself. So the opinions is like we had in the Gemara. The opinions run the gamut. Like we had the gamut about the mian. Should the mian, you know, block her off from any of the brothers? Does it only block her off from the one, or does it not block her off from anyone? So here he's saying that with the marriage of the orphan girl, so the first opinion is that only the mother or the brothers can do it. The second opinion, the mother, the brother, or the girl. The third opinion, only the girl can do it. And that's the way it's going. Okay, let me end the recording. One second.